Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The scenes behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha ha ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Drab.
This is Matt Valdez. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are listening to Bit Season. This is episode 154, a show about the junkies. We are the producers behind the glass. If you've just been introduced to the show,
What took you so long?
Yeah, what took you so long? Your friend should have told you about it a long time ago.
I actually had someone that I was playing golf with the other day. We got paired together, me and Wacky Jackie. It was like a two-man scramble type thing. And he listens to the Junks. And then he said on the T-Box, he said, "Hey, I listen to your podcast. It's hysterical. You and that other guy are funny."
I'll take that. Appreciate it. Spread the word.
I said, thank you, Rob.
Spread the word. Even though, as you know, it's about the junkies, we try to give our own spin on life over here. And I think we relate to a wide range of people.
And females, for whatever reason.
And females, yeah.
We don't get it. Females like Bit Season.
Well, I hope you guys all heard or have seen the announcement we made on the show today. Yeah. At 7:45, we announced the Junkies Drinking Show. Do you call it the Drinking Show or the Holiday Show? Or the Christmas Show? I never really know what to call it.
I rotate between the three all the time. I think deep down in its core, it's the Drinking Show.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that this is the show where the guys are supposed to get drunk.
Well, that's the key word, supposed. What's I supposed to say?
Yeah, what was I supposed to drink? I think this year, I know we've been working behind the scenes diligently trying to set up this on-location event at MGM. I think it's the perfect venue for the drinking show. I know we really don't do kind of the poker open anymore, the JPO. So it's on hiatus. Yeah, it's on hiatus. And this is a great way to get all the listeners together again at MGM and kind of reenact those shenanigans, except for it to be on air.
All right. So this is how it kind of, we didn't get into it on the show, but that's why you're over here listening to this podcast. So we can probably take you through the process of it. So we know that everybody loves the drinking show, and we love it. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, one of, I think, the things that plague Valdez and I is we put too much pressure on ourselves to make it bigger and badder every single year.
Yeah, every year it's one of those things where you're constantly trying to top yourself.
And CK always says, what are you idiots doing? You don't have to do that. Just that's not in the spirit of the show.
I know, but at the end
you
of the day,
you don't have to have some circus top. I know, for the drinking show.
I know,
it
but
is what it is.
At the end of the day, it feels like it's a listener Super Bowl. We say that all the time, and we just whatever we're just trying to make it exciting and eventful radio.
So
and
I always like it, the fact that listeners say it's their favorite show of the year, or they take it off work, and it's one of the biggest branded events of the year for the junkie. So we're kicking around. We're like, we got to do something. We got to get it out of the studio. We got to shake it up. We got to reinvigorate the guys a little bit.
Yeah. The guys need a little shot in the arm.
You know, as Valdez, he always hates it when they say, what do you got for us on the morning of the drinking show? And I think it's improved over the years. Look, it wasn't that many years ago. We would have been having the drinking show today or Friday. Because the guys are set to go on vacation.
That's also a big thing that
we found a way to push it back and manipulate their vacation schedule to get at least JP and Cakes to come in on their vacation days.
Yeah,
to be a part of the show, and so we could make it as close to Christmas as possible. I think that in itself has really kind of improved the show.
It helps.
I mean, could you imagine if we were doing the drinking show tomorrow?
No,
that's what it would be.
I know.
Because their 4 weeks of vacation are starting.
It hits a little more when it's closer to Christmas.
Even though Jason is screwing up the vacation schedule this year because he just took a month off and his week was supposed to be starting on Monday. But he was like, I don't want to take a week off because I just was gone. So I'm going to take 7 weeks of vacation in 2025. I don't know. I'm like, all right, I'll work it out with you. I know you're going to take all your days. So
yeah, the guy never leaves a day on the table.
Definitely not. He counts them all. All right, so we got the drinking show Friday, December 20th at MGM. Why MGM? Well, look, the first thing that Valdez and I thought of were like, oh, it's a drinking show. We should have it
at a bar or a brewery.
At a brewery or something like that, right? Easy access to booze and for the guys. But
I know.
And there's a bunch of new places out in like Loudoun County that have opened up. We have a strong point out there.
I know Chuck was chomping at the bit to try and get it at Hyde Social. He was doing everything he could to have the guys broadcast there.
And JP knows some guys with some breweries out in Montgomery County. So we were just kind of kicking around. But CK was like, you know, rightfully so. He was like, oh, you guys, so it's a show. It's highlighting the fact that drinking and driving is a dumb idea.
It's a public service.
Let's not have a show out at a brewery where we're telling people not to drink and drive.
When at a brewery, the only thing you can do is basically drink.
Is drink, yeah. So, good point by Chris. So we had to go back to. We kicked around diners for a while.
I still like the diner idea.
like in a side room,
some greasy spoon,
a greasy spoon place. You know, because we were thinking like, what? Something's got to be open early. But of course, you know, they have a great relationship with the guys at MGM still. And I think it's going to be awesome, dude. Right there in the sports book with the stadium seating, there is a bar back there. If you bring a ride or if you're being safe, you're going to get drinks. I think we're going to have
like a breakfast buffet for the guys. Buffet.
But outside of that, there's more stuff to do, right?
Yeah.
Go gamble, go play the slots, whatever, go play poker.
And it's
pop out.
And I think it's easier for people to pop in and watch the show than necessarily when we did it downstairs before. Because also there's like stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have done it downstairs. I'll be honest. I hated the shows downstairs. It wasn't. We kind of had the same idea. Well, we got to open the show up to listeners. Nobody wants to come to Navy Yard, D.C. with horrendous parking to come watch the show. And it was a small space down there. It was fine. It just wasn't special to me.
It wasn't suitable for the show that we were trying to do.
I think MGM can be great.
I think
massive parking garage, free parking, easy to get to right off the highway.
Everyone can come, too.
And it's, for most part, centrally located.
Yeah.
People from PG County, Montgomery County, Northern Virginia can all get there.
Yeah.
You know, look, you don't have to be there at 6 a.m. I'd love for you to be there at 6 a.m.
Yeah, if you're there at 6, that's great. You know, if you're there at 5:30 helping us prepare.
Maybe we should do some door prizes. or something. Some early door prizes.
Like
people.
Like tickets to something for people that show up?
Yeah, we don't want to start the show in front of nobody.
That's true.
Yeah, I think we have before, but people start filing in.
I actually think it's going to be really big. Because
I don't say things like that.
Why?
It's the first year we're doing it.
I know.
There. It's not going to be the poker open. It's not going to be 800
There's not going to be 800, but I really think people are going to show up for it. I think we sleep on how much people are attracted to the drinking show. Like it doesn't really resonate until the day of the show that we're doing, when people call in and they say, hey, like I'm watching it on TV, or I'm listening and I'm drinking along with you guys.
We
always underestimate the popularity of the drinking show.
Here's what I already don't like. I don't like those tweets that I'm seeing. Are you guys going to stream it? Is it going to be on YouTube, since it's not on Monumental? Your first thought should be right now, how can I get to MGM the day of the show and be there live?
Don't you want to see the behind the scenes stuff about the guys during the break, us trying to keep them together, keep cakes together for the show?
Come on down. Figure out a way to, I realize not everyone come. I don't know if we're going to stream it. I actually have no idea. I don't know the technical stuff behind that. I don't know if we're allowed to in a casino. I just don't know. I don't even know if I really want to. Yeah, we'll have to talk to the guys, but because we want as many people to come. So when I say stream, I'm talking about video
like
stream.
On YouTube, like a live stream. Are you excited for the boys' night?
Yeah, I think the boys' night is another great idea. We're adding to it. That's just special for us, but the kind of reasoning behind it is let's get some stories.
Content, yes.
Let's get some stories from the night before. Warm the guys up early in the morning. Oh, can you believe that cakes fell out of the car? Well, you know, out of the bus that we were taking down there. JP tipped $40 for the whole group.
Jason left at halftime.
Yeah. All right, you never know. Valdez has great connections at RPM Italian. We threw that out to the guys, but I think they
don't want to do a 2-hour whole dinner thing. By the way,
well, they said that you get food at the Hennessy Loft, which actually has not even been
confirmed yet.
Confirmed.
It'll
Jim said
happen.
Said that. Oh, we'll hook you guys up. Let me check on the Hennessy Lofts.
Well, was it Brian at RPM said that even if you don't want to do the dinner, you can stop by, have an app, and then just grab a drink. Brian, right. He just gets sized for the guys.
So. All right. I'm sized to grab a drink and get a meatball.
Yeah, eat a big meatball.
Right. So that's mostly for us, but also we want to get some stories out of it. And the guys have talked about sitting in the Hennessy Loft for a couple of years now. When else are we going to do it?
Like, this is the time.
This is the time, right?
Uh-huh. Side note.
Yeah.
What did you think of Eric's weird Hennessy Loft rant?
I mean, I could spend 20 minutes right now talking about how Bickle was driving me nuts in that little segment. First thing, I don't understand him. I don't understand the lack of professionalism. I realize where the junkies were
laid back.
There's no like
no urgency.
No urgency. We break all the rules. We were wearing sometimes the clothes we slept in here. But can we at least have a little bit of urgency and professionalism when we're announcing our biggest show of the year and we want people to come to? And can you at least be in the room? Can you be in the room for the announcement that we've teased for an hour and 45 minutes? Can you be in the room, Eric Bickle?
Where was he?
Eric Bickle, I don't understand. Like, he calls Stevie Bickle dumb and dumber.
Yeah.
It's dumb, dumber, and dumbest when the three of them are around. I don't understand.
The Three Stooges.
How you can be gone. We have 6-minute commercial breaks. How you can come back 5 minutes into a segment. You were gone for 11 and a half minutes taking a poop?
Who poops for 10 minutes?
The urgency. I don't understand why he can't. If it's an emergency, which I know it's not, it's never an emergency.
Because it would be boy who cries wolf, because it would be because it's happening every day. You can't have an emergency happen daily.
I had to
say
something. After the segment, I had to say something.
I know.
And I was doing the good cop thing, and I go, Bickle, I got to talk to you. I go, I love you. I really love you, but what are you doing? Can you please be in the studio for the show's big announcements? I go, what was that? I go, dude, you were gone for 11 minutes. And he goes, you wouldn't believe it. It was stuck. It was stuck between my cheeks. You want me to walk in here with poop in my... I go, yeah, actually, I do. I do. I want you to come back. If you're not done wiping, come back. No, that would be disgusting. I know it would be, but you'd at least be here. Be a part of the show.
Man, should we just get him a diaper?
He needs the Watergate guy treatment. The old host that used to be on JFK.
Oh, G. Gordon Liddy.
G. Gordon Liddy, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, get him a bucket.
He needs a bucket and a diaper. He can just go turd in his Depends and continue doing the show. If he can't hold it for 10 minutes, go during Dave Richard. I said, go during Dave Richard. You're not going to ask any questions anyways. You're already skipping that segment.
So we went back-to-back segments for skipping. Hey, what did you think of my idea of docking his pay?
Got to do something. You got to do something.
Well, this is what this is why it was tilting to me.
And that is what Bickle did today, way worse than JP missing 5 minutes of the show and being late. It is.
Yeah. I'm starting to be team JP with it. If he misses the opening of the segment because of traffic, fine. That's okay. We can get away with it.
He but goes, not what happened he said, today. I had to go so bad I almost left in the middle of Baldinger. And I'm like, you should have left her in the middle of Baldinger then.
I think what really infuriates you is the fact that it's and like he's not even looking at the outline. Like he had no idea that the big announcement was
how could he have no idea?
I don't
we
know.
We teased it going
know.
Into the
I
break.
I don't know. I don't get it. He had brain rot.
It was mentioned 17 times leading up to it.
But this is why it's upsetting to me.
Dude,
it's
he missed. He added nothing to it. He added nothing to it.
I know.
He came back 5 minutes into the segment and said, I don't like the name Hennessy Lofts.
This is why we need him to be here is because also he is the most outspoken about stuff, right? He's the straw that stirs the drink. He's right. He's the happiest about
the world's
about
greatest
doing it.
Salesman.
Yes,
get in here and sell the show.
Yeah, tell everyone to show up.
I don't know.
Should be
man.
Called the Hennessy Sillies.
That dude, it really.
It angered you.
Well, it's just like, dude, we put a lot of people are putting a lot of work into this. There's a lot of money attached to this whole thing. There's a pride on the line. Your little poop is more important. How are you going to feel now 5 minutes beforehand or the day of and not enough people are there? Because you were in
you
the bathroom.
You had a duty.
It's not like that. Also, I don't understand why it takes him so long to go to the bathroom. Valdez had a wave the other day. He made it back within 5 minutes and 15 seconds. I don't understand 11-minute bath. I understand it at home.
Yeah, at home, that's fine.
Fine. You're on your phone. You put your feet up. Who cares?
Yeah, you want to sneak away from your kids.
Oh, my God, Bickle. I guess we should stop having expectations.
Wow, we've reached that?
Well... I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted. I'm still, you got me all worked up. I'm flabbergasted from it.
I don't like him using the poop excuse. I actually, you know what? Next time this happens, someone needs to follow him. Right?
And what?
And tell him to hurry up. Just be like the hall monitor. Stand outside the stall.
Dude, if he's in there for the junkies blitz. That's one thing. He missed the big show announcement. The brain rot, as you said, or not caring. You know.
It could be a combination of both. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to anger you.
And I do love him, but, I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to anger you as we're selling MGM and the drinking show. I apologize.
Come on out. It will be a good time. Hey, it'll be fun.
We got to figure out where the bathroom is by the sports book because he might get lost for the entire show.
I think there's one right across by the ATMs there. I think right by Blossom.
Okay. I'm also excited for all of us.
Will the guys drink enough during that show? This is also part of it. They don't drink enough during the drinking show. And so we kind of just get them out there. If they're in front of other people and they're putting on a show, they do a great job for in front of like live performances like that.
Yeah, they feel the need to
step up. They're going
to
imbibe a little bit more. But it will be a great time. And you know, Mike Mars.
I know. I actually think Mike Mars
was bouncing around the room.
I actually think he's low key. He is going to be the superstar of the show.
No, you need to lower your expectations. Well, he can't drink.
No. He's going to bring the energy.
Oh, he'll do dap ups and things like that.
Yes, he's going to. No, I know he can't drink. I'm saying he's bringing the energy. He's the one that all the stories are going to be about the night before.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
All right.
The last night was a movie, bro. As the kids say.
All right, put it on your calendar, December 20th. Come on out.
All right? Hey, and also speaking of Christmas, cheap plug. Get your Christmas cameos and send them to Junkies producer on Cameo. I like having them now instead of a billion to do the day before we go on break.
Put it in your
brain.
Cheap, fun
Christmas gift.
Christmas gift for a buddy of yours. Yeah, right? Like likes the show.
A virtual stocking stuffer.
Give us some good tips about them, some good details, and we'll Joan. Wish them happy holidays. Send them in Cameo. Search Junkies producers, all right?
Yes. Let's load them up now. Yes, because like I said, I'd rather do them now than trying to do 20 when we're trying to leave and do Christmas shopping.
What do you want to get into here? I know we got a few things written down here.
I want to get into this this beef that you're having. I saw Richmond John do some sort of goodbye song.
Oh, the
what is going on with you and our listeners? Are you guys
the P1
like,
chat?
Okay, so the P1 chat is something that you talked about where there's this discord that you're having with our listeners. It's just a group text with who is it again? Richmond John.
It was a group like direct message chat.
Okay,
we talked about it
in one of the previous episodes
with
but now there's
with Richmond John, John DePompa, and Blake Giffen. That's it.
Yes,
I don't know
the
how
four
I don't,
horsemen.
I don't know how I got into like I'm. It's not like I don't even know Blake Giffen's real name. I have no idea. I don't know who he is. I see John DePompa like once every few years. In Richmond John, we'll see him a couple times a year. By the way, Richmond John did a welfare call check on me yesterday.
Interesting.
He called me. I shouldn't have deleted the voicemail. But I have to delete them because otherwise like the dumb notification won't clear my phone.
Okay.
But he did like I think he's like he doesn't know how to take Drab leaving the P1 chat.
He doesn't know if
I'm really upset.
Well, are you upset?
Well, all right.
So explain what happened. You're leaving the chat. Is the chat gone?
First of all, I feel stupid calling it a P1 chat. Like if there was like 30 people in it and it was like a Discord free flowing thing. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. And I'm not opposed to having one of those things either, but that you're going to get a lot less juicy details in a chat like that.
Okay.
But I wouldn't mind starting be in it whoever. Like
yeah. You're just
top listeners could be in it.
This
was kind of like a bit season. Okay. Chat.
Right.
Chat. It was just like give them little details about the show and what was going on behind the scenes and things like that. But there would be other dumb bits in there as well. Stuff that had nothing to do with the show.
Workshopping zings.
All right. So everyone knows that I'm public enemy number one about this Jaden Daniels thing, right?
What do you mean by everyone slightly knows, above average?
But yes, that I have not crowned him.
Right.
You've not given greatness. Him his flowers. I haven't said he's special. I won't say he's special. I won't say he's elite.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I said
which I think is very reasonable of you.
I thought it was I called him slightly above average. Right. I said the Cliff gets 70% of the credit for the offense this year.
Yeah.
All right. We're doing a sports show. I have some sports opinions.
Okay.
And so I'm sharing them on the show. I know I can take the heat. Like, I'm getting endless. And by the way, Eric Bickle is a pussy. Eric Bickle is a pussy.
I know what you're going to say, because I saw the same, because I noticed the same thing.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
Eric and I can have a debate on the show, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's yelling at me. He's calling me an idiot, all this stuff, and or, you know, a hater, as he likes to say.
Yeah.
I felt like I worked him up and just I beat him down. Like, I beat him down. I was ready to go when mm-hmm. when he attacked me on Monday at 9 a.m. Like, if Jaden plays well, Eric's going to attack me at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Like, I know. And I was somewhat ready. I was prepared. I felt like I did a good job debating with him. I felt like I sank his battleship.
Uh-huh.
And what did he do? He went crying to Twitter, and he had to sick all those HTTR guys on me, because he knows that I ran circles around him in our fight here.
He needed to rally the troops.
Rally the
troops. You know what happens is like when you get in a fight and then you're losing, and then your boys jump in because you're losing. That's exactly what happened.
And he knows what happens. What happens, like, taking what's being said on the air and trying to expand that to social media is impossible.
Because there's no context.
There's
no
context to what anyone's saying. Nobody knows who I am. None of the Commander fans who don't, like, they don't really know who I am. Only, like, diehard listeners of the show know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sends it out into the...
He puts the bat signal out.
He puts a bat signal. Attack! Attack! This guy! Attack him! He's a hater! Mm-hmm. And of course, all day long, all the arrows being slung at me, and I'm taking them, I'm fighting back.
Yeah.
And then Bickle that night, he like tried to like come to my defense a little bit, like some people that were like overly cruel.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and then he told me the next morning, oh, I felt bad. I realized what I did. And I go, oh, you realize what you did at 10 p.m. at night? No, you know exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
You went crying to mommy, and mommy just happens to be the HTTR bandwagon on Twitter. Get them.
Get sick them.
Yeah.
Sick the dog on you.
Anyways, back to the P1 chat.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all, like, I'm having fun with it. I'm fighting back. Believe me, I'm fine. There is an ultimate P1, okay? His name's Scott Gammon. If you're on Twitter, you've probably seen him before. He tweets the junkies all the time, like, nonstop. And it's going to be tough. It might even be tough to find this tweet, because he tweets so often. So Scott Gammon, who... I don't know. How do you say?
He would die for the junkies.
He would die for the junkies.
You want to see a guy that would take a bullet for... He would take a bullet for Mike Marr. That's how
and
dedicated
I
to the show
I say this lovingly because I've never met the guy. But you know how radio listeners are built different? Like, if you're in a P1 of a show and you're just like... There's something maybe a little bit off...
Yes,
right?
We're kind of
Scott's. It seems at least online, he seems a little bit off, a little too passionate about the show.
Yes, it's like irregular genes. There's one right. There's like one stitch that's off.
I'm having my don't sleep here. So Scott Gammon tweets like at 10 o'clock at night. He retweet or quote tweets my slightly above tweet. Above average, and he says,
"I would say the station wrote a whole article about it."
Yeah, they do every 3 days. I tweeted the guy start getting paid per article written about me. He tweets, EB junkies in drab t-shirt argument proves that Junks Radio is the best radio show of ever. Other radio shows agree with whatever someone says and never challenge. Difference of opinion is what makes radio and this country great. What a tweet. What a tweet from Scott Gammon.
That's a Hall of Fame tweet.
All right. Drag t-shirts making radio and this country great. I love it. And I tweeted him like...
You look at the twinkle in your eye.
This guy gets it, right? Yeah, and he gets it. Like, he gets it. EB, I think, responded. Or EB said, yep. All
okay.
Right?
Yeah, co-signed.
So that next morning, I get it in the group chat. Now, here's what you need to know. I can't even bring up the group chat anymore. Because I quit the group, so I can't even see it anymore. But okay. I did do some research.
Okay. I like that. You did all some right. research.
So the next morning in the chat, I said, Scott Gammon's always been my guy, or something like that.
Yeah,
and I put that tweet in there.
Yeah.
Mostly thinking those guys would get a kick out of Scott Gammon, who they know on Twitter is kind of an oddball. Like, and I said, coming through with like a big time tweet.
Yeah.
So then this is what, and look, I am already somewhat irritated because I've been fighting strangers all day on Twitter and battling. Like, I can handle it. I'm battling. Yes, I'm doing my thing.
Yeah, and they're attacking your fandom and your team.
But I've said, basically, Scott Gammon gets the show, right? So then John DePompa.
Oh, all right. Okay. We like John, don't we?
Well, we did. This is why I quit the group. And maybe I'm just being a little bitch ass. You can tell me. John DePompa, I feel like, I don't know how else to say this, but in this chat group, okay, between the four of us.
Yeah. It seems like there's a billion people in this group. It's just four idiots.
In this group, I'm the big silly, okay? I'm the Pope of this group because it's only the four of us and the show is, the chat is about the junkies and I'm the only one on the junkies.
You're the insider.
I would
agree with
they're
you.
All bigger sillies than me. Yes. Whatever.
Yes. In this chat so group, much more talented than you,
I actually get the hero worship in this chat group.
All right.
At least that was my expectation.
I think that's a very fair expectation, by the way.
Believe me, I don't have a big head. Usually.
No, but I mean,
just trying to set.
They're mining for show nuggets with the show producer. Yeah. I feel like you have a lot of value in this group chat.
So and when I say I did research, I had to hit up Blake Giffen and have him do screenshots of the conversation of the group that they're still in that I'm not, and send it to me so I could have this because I knew you were going to ask me about it. He said, "I think you're Jaden Daniels." Discourse has reached a disingenuous point.
All right, who's saying this?
John DePompa.
Okay.
I think your Jaden Daniels discourse has reached a not even a good morning, by the way. That's the response to it. I'll start over. I think your Jaden Daniels discourse has reached a disingenuous point, and people don't like that. You're clearly trolling everyone and rooting for your opinion to be right rather than just observing Jaden. It's a turnoff for us hardcore Redskins fans. Then he says, I personally don't care at all what somebody thinks of Jaden. Lie. this team had the worst owner in all sports. We're so golden that if Jaden doesn't work out, we have football people that will figure it out. So I okay. That was his response. And so I see that and I'm like,
this is first thing in the morning.
First thing, yeah. So I said, this is what I said. I said, I'm not trolling. I got to take a fucking break from this. It fucking annoys me, John, when you say that. I have an opinion and I'm sticking to it. And I'm also doing my job. Matt Cahill left group.
Wow. All right.
Not a ton of drama. Nothing like extremely juicy in there. But here's what happened. I don't need to hear fucking lip from John DePompa about being a troll. Okay?
Right.
First of all, I hate the word troll when it comes to doing a radio show. I'm not a troll.
I wouldn't think you're a troll either.
I have an opinion. I've said on the show many times. So he's got part of that right. I have an opinion and I'm sticking to it. That is true.
Yes.
Now, I said 100 times, and I kind of believe that I will at some point, if proven, like hit over the head with evidence a million times, I will change my opinion. And look, there will have to be some sort of repentance for my mistake. I'm clearly aware of that, right?
I was wrong moment.
Yeah, of course.
If there's a I was wrong moment in your eyes.
If it blows up in my face, yes. I know what's coming.
Yes.
And I also know, and I know what I'm doing, okay? If I'm wrong. But I also have an opinion that Jaden, and you can say, Drab, you're an idiot. That doesn't offend me. Drab, you're dumb. Are you blind? Here's what's happening. The word troll bothers me.
So it's bothering you because to you, John thinks this is all a shoot.
He thinks I'm doing this to make people angry.
This is a shoot.
Yeah. I'm creating some big fucking, and I'm cursing a lot.
I know. It's okay.
All right. You can leave him in there. What are we going to give reporters to the FCC, our podcast?
All right. I'll leave him in.
Okay.
From this moment forward, every curse word.
I don't know. All right. So he thinks that I'm concocting some I got this big plan just to annoy people and to have a different opinion than everyone else.
He's so like Andy Kaufman.
So I can get my attention that I desperately need. and to be the guy that, I don't know, everyone hates, and I'm just trolling. I'm trying to purposely make people angry.
It's like you're playing the role of a villain.
Right.
And he thinks you're playing a role.
Exactly. Well, he thinks I'm being a villain on purpose. No. And I'm trying to make people angry. No. First off, I don't say anything about Jaden Daniels unless he asks me about it. I'm not going on the air, turning on my microphone, saying Jaden Daniels sucks. Trying to like irrationally make people angry on a victory Monday. No, but if he takes shots at me and he's prodding me a little bit 3 hours into the show and I haven't said anything about Jaden, of course I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, right? You think it was the best 3-yard touchdown pass you've ever seen in your life? Fine. Be happy. I'm not 100% sold. So, also, I've said a million times, he's playing well. He's slightly above average as a passer. I know he can run. I'm not sold on him as a passer. I want to see what Bo Nix did. He'll probably be better than Bo Nix. When Jaden Daniels can consistently make that throw, or will even attempt that throw that Bo Nix had on Monday night, that Bo does every week now, that will help sell me on Jaden Daniels. But Jaden doesn't do those throws. And I don't want to hear that Terry throw to the sideline where he's wide open and Terry runs 85 yards and the Cowboys are only guarding the sidelines in a prevent defense. That's not what I'm talking about. All right. I've told you before.
I think you're standing.
What I'm looking for.
It's very rational.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think it's out of pocket.
And if you're listening to this, Drab, you're an idiot. You don't know ball. That's fine. Actually, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You call me a troll and it pisses me off. I'm not trolling. I'm not trying to make people angry on purpose just to be an asshole. I just have an opinion that's different than everyone else's. That's it. So when you say I'm disingenuous, the words disingenuous and troll pissed me off.
I can tell. You're very heated about it. So the group chat ended over sports.
Yeah. It's IJS, John. And there's also no bigger phony than John DePompa when it comes to that. The guy is the biggest bandwagon, or not even bandwagon, homer.
He's a homer.
He's a diehard homer. That's just fine, but own it. You got to own it. You can't call in and make fun of Valdez for saying IJS, Matt. We all know it.
I know.
When you're the biggest homer there is. And then he called in and said he wasn't a homer at one point. Or he tried to say he wasn't. No, he's a Matt, and that's fine. I'm a Seahawks homer. You got to own it.
I think that's very well said. I think
so. The chat is over. If I'm looking for a new P1 chat,
you know, submit your applications.
All right.
You know who was that? Who was that guy that had Bit Season as his number one podcast?
Yeah,
let's do a P1 chat with him.
Spotify Wrapped at Bit Season number one. I love that.
Over the Junks.
Love that.
Yeah,
he's a strong candidate for the next P1 chat.
Yeah, are you funny?
Are you funny?
So we appreciate.
So yeah.
That.
So
this is
that's
this
all
is
it was.
This is what
the word troll, as they say, is a trigger word for me.
I can understand. Like, do you think the guys are upset at I'm talking about Blake Griffin and Richmond John are upset at you for leaving or upset at John for
they're not
ruffling
upset.
Feathers.
They
this is gone now. Like they had something silly.
I really love Richmond John. He was sending me some like emotional messages, kind of thing. He was making it too big of a deal.
Okay,
he was like,
but that's John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's always
He's a caring
nice.
Guy.
Yeah, he's a very caring guy.
Bleeding heart, as they say. Okay. He's a caring guy. Why did you leave the chat? I was doing a bit. What's going on? I said. He thinks I left the chat. He thought at first I left the chat because of him. I said, no, DePompa. He goes, oh, I missed it. What did he do? And I had to explain it to him. And then he goes, I guess your friendship matters more to me than some dumb pro football player.
What a text. What a tag.
All right.
Hey, that's so funny.
I love John. And so then I think I responded to it, but I think he thinks I'm still like in my feels about it. Maybe I am. I don't know. So then he called me, left me a wellness check. Hope everything's okay. Just checking in on you. Worried about you. Call me back. I love him. By the way, we got to invite Richmond John to the Christmas show.
Definitely. I think he has an open invite.
John, if you're hearing this, this is your invite to come be our musician for the show.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. Why did John send that to you? Like why do you care? Like why would John care?
I don't know. He's a diehard. He's a diehard, and he doesn't like that I'm on the airways polluting it with my non-Commanders fandom.
Doesn't John understand that your team, my team, everyone's team gets shit talked about them all the time?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yes.
And you got 29 other fans bases rooting against you.
Hey, was it awkward when John DePompa called in?
No, I was nice to him. I mean, it was brief, but I said, remember, but I just remember. I didn't say, junkies, please hold. You know?
Did you say, hey, John? Did you thought about changing the hotline number?
Yeah, he might have to go on the block list.
Oh. Hey, John was texting me. John DePompa was texting me.
Oh, well, you got some insider skinny here? You got a retort?
I think
you're
I
doing your own? Are you playing one side against the other? What are you doing here? When?
What? It was today at 8:18 a.m.
Oh, right after his call.
He tried to squeeze. He goes, I tried to squeeze a zing in when I mentioned the Jupiter and the red spot in your lip.
Oh, yeah,
And he goes, I was going to say the two things you can see on Earth from space are the Great Wall of China and Drab's lips. It's almost like he's trying to open up the group chat with me. I asked him, was that call your olive branch?
Yeah.
All right. You want to know what he says?
He probably said, no, screw Drab.
No, he goes, LOL, I have no beef with him whatsoever. The guy who chucks tennis rackets over the fence and smashed his brother in the head with a boulder overreacted when I attempted to explain to him why he's tilting Redskins fans.
No, it's not why I'm tilting Redskins fans. It's why I'm tilting him.
Yes, he's tilted.
Yeah, I don't care about the Redskins fans. I'm not friends with them. I was friends with John. Now he's on my block list. No.
All right. I appreciate the update.
All right.
Well, and we're taking applications.
We got an opening for the P1 chat. Yeah. Richmond John and Blake Giffen are
already in.
Yeah, they're in.
All right. Submit your applications. Tweet Drab and myself, and we'll review it.
And also, we don't do sports talk in the chat. That's rule number one.
Yeah. Have you done sports talk
before?
No,
we don't debate sports topics in the chat.
What are some of the top topics in the chat?
Well, mostly about like...
The junks?
Yeah.
It's an ongoing
what the guys
discussion about the show as the show's going on.
I can't even pull it up. Okay. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm out of the group.
Hey, got to let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drab and myself. Don't show it for John DePompa by heading to don'tsleepenergy.com. Right now, you can get a 2-ounce energy shot. I know Jason enjoys those during the show. Drabby has his 12-ounce can right in front of him. He's been sipping it all Bit Season. I'm going to get mine during this break. Go to don'tsleepenergy.com right now and use the promo code BITTIES to save 10% on every order. Get some swag, get a t-shirt. And when we get back, Drab has a friend who hates Stevie Bickle. Welcome back to Bit Season episode 154. Drabby, you mentioned you had something you wanted to bring up to me before we
this is stupid, but
before we get to your friend who hates Stevie Bickle.
Another day, another Odyssey article written about Drab t-shirt.
Nuh-uh.
What time? 11:40 a.m. They're cranking them out.
they must have a factory. I imagine you ever see.
You want to hear the headline?
What could the article be about? You barely said anything today. That was article worthy.
I am just a
content machine.
I'm a content machine. Forget pickleball. A Junks radio caller has challenged Drab T-shirt to a tennis match. Listen to it go down.
What a, it must be bye week. You got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Is that going to happen or not?
I don't know, but the fact that they wrote an article about that dumb conversation is hilarious to me.
Yeah,
I'm going to do a quote tweet.
Another one.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'll do another one. DJ Khaled.
This, you know, the show should be called the Sports Drabbies.
It really should.
That's funny.
All right. Would you tease? Oh, Stevie Bickle.
Yeah, yeah. So this was on the outline, and it intrigued me.
I think I made an offhand comment to you about it.
And then and it has to be about the engine not having any oil in it. So
this was actually, believe it or not, before that.
Oh, nah.
Let me find it here.
I thought maybe it would have been about just a lack of car knowledge and automotive knowledge or common sense. Do you know what I've noticed this week too?
What's that?
As you're searching for this, mm-hmm. And this tilts me, and it's with Jason and Eric mostly that I've learned this. Their kids, they have unlimited Uber. Like yeah, they can just take an Uber to anywhere, I guess, no matter what.
They subscribe to a better an Uber than.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, but this isn't a high schooler.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're not paying for their own.
Daughter's is an adult.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Stephen Bickle is an adult.
You're kind of on the right path here.
Oh, okay.
So literally out of nowhere, this was 8 o'clock at night. I don't know if I'll say who it was, but it was a good friend of mine.
Okay. Well, we only know you're friends with Kent, so my guess is it's a Kent.
One of the Kents. Now, look, we talk all day long.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp. So at 8 o'clock at night.
I didn't know Kent was Hispanic.
What do you mean?
That's what Hispanics use to communicate.
Oh, WhatsApp?
Yeah.
No, I think he's an iPhone guy and I'm an Android guy. Okay. So I don't know. It's way easier to send videos and all that kind of stuff. He says, I hate Stevie Bickle. All right. Now, keep in mind.
What an opener.
What an opener, right?
Yeah. The kid's done nothing to him.
I'm just going to say this before I read any of this. I do not subscribe to this.
Yeah, we do not hate Stevie Bickle.
Kent's a great guy. I think he's you know, going way over the top here, and he's just mostly teasing. But I do not subscribe to this, but I would think that I want to get your thoughts on this.
Disclaimer,
right?
We don't subscribe to this.
Yeah. Stevie, don't everyone
go run to Eric and say, we hate Stephen Bickle.
All right. Kent, I hate Stevie Bickle. I like that he calls him Stevie, too.
I actually, pause. It tilts me that he's a 24-year-old man going by Stevie. I don't think
he goes by Stevie in his life. I think only on this show.
He's known as Stevie
because
Eric's called him that growing up.
Yeah. So I said, LOL, why? And he goes, this is all he says. The car he didn't buy to get an apartment he doesn't pay for, while in college he doesn't pay for, while working at a financial institution he makes too much to be at, the world has to stop for him to get saved while sitting at a diner. While he was probably gambling the entire time he sat there. It just never ends with this guy.
Pause. My guess is he's probably, if we found out that Dumb and Dumber, Stevie and his friend, are into meme coins. My guess is he was probably gambling, so that could be accurate. All right, continue.
Yeah, he says he has zero suffer in his life. Kent says, asking my mom for $100 in college once every 3 months was the worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
And he goes, $300 Uber ride just because he was bored? You got to be kidding me.
Okay.
And then, so I just said, I don't even remember what I said. I didn't say anything interesting.
Did you agree, he's a lax bro.
That's how it works. Okay. Okay, that's all I said.
All right. You're kind of egging Ken on a little bit. All right.
And then yesterday at 10 a.m., in all caps, he DM'd me. He let the car run out of oil? Are you kidding me?
It sounds like Kent's maybe a little
jealous.
Jealous. I was going to say upset. I would say upset with himself, comparing him to Stevie, who's
I think it's unfair.
24.
I think Kent would agree to judge Stevie when you never met him. But that's the way life works. Sometimes you're going to be poorer than other people. Sometimes you're gonna be richer than other people. You can't compare other people's lives to yours.
Some people have it on easy street. Some people don't.
That's just the way it works. And maybe their life will change, or they have trauma or things going on in their life that you'll never experience. But yeah, it sucks. Sometimes people have it easy. Sometimes people are naturally gifted. Sometimes their parents own companies and they never have to worry about money.
Yeah, sometimes people are born on third base. Sometimes
aren't. Haven't you ever heard of be grateful for what you have?
Not what you don't. Yes.
What do they say? Comparison is something.
It's a disease.
Sucks the joy of life or something like that. You can't compare yourself to the Stevie Bickles out there. Comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Comparison is the thief of joy, Kent. Can't compare yourself to Stevie Bickle. He's got a different life. Things happen differently for him. Maybe
there's some things Stevie's jealous of Kent of.
He might be.
Does Kent have a family?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Stevie Bickle's dick doesn't work. And, you know, one day he can't have kids or something. And he'll be jealous of Kent. All the dads out there, they got to have kids. I don't know. You never know. I don't know why I said that, but it's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say maybe he'll get cancer.
Yeah, you stopped midway through your cancer comparison.
No, look, Stevie, it is annoying, the right word? I don't know. Sometimes the junks don't challenge their kids enough when it comes to growing into adulthood. And he always says, it always ricks me a little bit when he goes, Drab had his dad on his pay his cell phone bill till like 3 months ago. First of all, that's not true. It was until I was like 30. But I was
also on their own, like, the
I was
family
on a
family plan,
and I had to, I was supposed to send my dad money. Like, that was the whole arrangement.
Yes.
And
sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't.
Yeah. But like, really, they haven't paid my rent ever, nothing like that. My parents don't send me money. They never have since my share of the family plan, whatever it was, for a few years when I was out here.
I can tell that it ricks you when they say that.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know how many hoopties I've driven? I'm still driving hoopties.
This is, it's hard for me. So it's hard for me to get on a pedestal and like criticize parenting, but. Mm-hmm. This is because, I mean, I don't have kids, so it's hard for
don't
someone.
Don't you know the best parents are the ones that never had one?
You're just full of cliches today, aren't you?
I just read that somewhere else. I kind of stuck with it. I liked it.
You have to appreciate that I know that I don't have kids, so mm-hmm. I shouldn't tell you how to raise mm-hmm. yours or rear yours. But this is like Stevie. It just tells me calling him Stevie. Stevie and
Steve,
a lot
Steven.
And then a lot of these kids, that it doesn't seem like they have any kind of not trauma, but just there's no downs. There's just always ups. It's like they're not challenged. Like that's a life lesson for Stevie.
Don't you think JP challenges? Doesn't he always tell Kelsey, buy your own plane ticket?
You know, take JP out of the equation. You're right.
Okay.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. He might just be a skin flint.
Yeah. Did he make his daughter buy her own food at the Wizards game? Remember?
Because
he wasn't going to spend $20 on a hot dog. Okay. All right.
You got to give JP credit.
You're right. Take JP out of there. Uh-huh. Now that I feel like that's kind of an extreme scenario. Right. But like that should be your life lesson.
Mm.
Right. Your car broke down. You got to pay to get it towed, and you got to pay to Uber back, and you got to pay for the repair, and you spent 12 hours of your life that you'll never get back at a Chesapeake house. Like that's a learning moment. That's a teaching moment, yeah. Life lesson. And
look, I have no,
he'll never experience.
I don't think that's not a, like a, I don't know, spoiling thing to me. Like, I have no problem with the junkies spoiling their kids and buying them nice things, right? Because they earned it and they can do with their money what they want, right?
No, I totally agree
with
you.
So I really have, like, if they want to, you know, whatever, buy their kids a car, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But it is the life lessons things that kind of, or they bail them out. When they should, like, Stevie, there's no way a 24-year-old kid should be completely oblivious to having no oil in the car.
All right.
It's just not, especially as a man. All right.
Yes.
But I would say for any adult, but especially a man.
Have you ever done that where you've like you've just bought something and you've misused something and it is,
you know what, maybe, I don't know, like, I would just never call my dad and ask him at any point. I moved out here when I was 24 years old. I had all kinds of financial issues. Yeah, my parents are well off. I would have never called him and been like, hey, my car, I didn't put oil in my car, you know, can you send me money for a tax? I wouldn't even think of that. I would be so embarrassed to ask.
If I had a major issue, I would reach out to my parents. But if I don't know, like, I would never ask my parents for money to go buy, like, furniture, or if, like, the fridge broke and I got to go get a new fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. You're on the complete opposite. And, like, you won't even accept gifts from your parents.
No.
Like, you don't believe in that. You don't believe, like, would you tell your golf balls? Your mom asked you what you want for Christmas. You said golf balls.
Yes. And then a lot of the time,
like, if my parents ask me what I want for Christmas, I'll give them a list. All right. But I'm not hitting them up for money.
Okay. I think that's appropriate. But at this point in our lives, that we can probably get anything we want. We don't need to ask.
I certainly cannot.
Okay. Well, anything we need.
Anything you need, probably.
Not want, sorry. Yeah. Anything you need. Stevie doesn't strike me as the person who would buy themselves their own Christmas gifts, send them to their house so that mom can wrap them, and then you have something to open up on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you do. That's something I would do. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem like something the junkies' kids would do.
I think the Uber thing is getting out of control.
Where does the responsibility for them come in?
It's
being misused. And then also,
it is being misused. But this is what, their money.
I know, but it's being misused. And we also know, or Eric admitted, that Stevie puts it on Eric's account and then has all of his friends pay cash.
Yeah, that's BS.
That's BS. If you're doing that, you got to get rid of it.
Yeah, that is taking advantage of the bank, for sure.
And then it kind of tilts me that, you know, Jason's daughter's using it nonstop. Stevie's using it nonstop. And the whole point of it is, hey, I don't want you behind the wheel driving if you're out, you know, partying all night and drinking.
Hey,
all night.
Can I say something?
But that's part of being an adult.
Whatever happened to the designated driver?
I don't know.
I literally don't know. I'm asking. Do any parents out there say, hey, I'm not
Who's the DD?
We're not paying for Uber rides every Friday and Saturday, $60 a weekend for your guys' Uber rides.
Well, that's also being an adult is like, okay, I have to, like, I'm not getting a hotel. I'm not staying out at someone's house. Mm-hmm. I'm going home. I need to be responsible and not overindulge.
Right. I don't know. They're great parents, so I will never, like...
I know, I don't want this to be
and
like...
I definitely don't like being jealous of other people's, what the other people have that I don't have, but it's the life lesson things. Like, EB should have taught... That was a great time to teach your kid a lesson. You can't just say, oh, I don't know either. He didn't know, I don't know. I mean, whatever, these things happen.
There's no way.
No, it should have been like, Stevie, come on, man. Yeah. You got to be on top of those things. You own a car.
I'm hoping Dina is like that.
I would hope so too. But
like someone has to be the bad cop, right?
Yeah. Well, certainly wasn't Eric there.
Are you the bad cop at the house?
You got
bad cop written all over you.
Yeah, but I'm. Thank you.
I didn't know that was
it. Yeah, it wasn't. You asked.
Well, it's just Sarah's so sweet.
Yeah, she is. But sometimes I get a little worried about that. I mean, I've been saying this to my daughters recently. I think this is a Nick Saban line. Okay. Literally, they don't even understand the word, but I'm drilling it in.
Yeah.
All right. I said this 3 times this week. The standard is the standard.
What are you doing?
Tinsley, we're taking a bath. I don't want to. I'm not taking a bath. Tinsley, the standard is the standard. We take baths in this house at nighttime. Take your clothes off. Get in the bath. But last night, I put her blankie in timeout. She was definitely Rick.
That's a new one. You put the blanket in timeout.
It was bedtime, and they got to have their blankie. I said, if you don't take a bath, I'm putting your blankie in timeout. And she was throwing a fit and doing what you know, toddlers and 4-year-olds do. She was being defiant. So I simply, when she turned her back, I grabbed her blankie.
I snatched her blankie. That's your daughter.
I put it in the closet on the top. She had no idea. And then when she was asking where her blankie was, I told her it was in timeout. And she's not getting it. She had a meltdown. She was throwing a fit. And she eventually, I gave her one last chance to take a bath. And she finally did. And then she got her blankie back. But she was about to go to bed without her blankie last night.
Or a bath.
So maybe, I am an ass. I'm taking my kids' blankie.
I know. Can you imagine?
I got to put my feet down.
Can you imagine?
I can't deal with this.
If your dad took your whoopee away.
Believe me, my parents did way worse. I told you. My dad tied me to the bedpost.
I know that. Your mom took you to the jail.
Yeah, my mom took me to... When I wouldn't go to bed at night, my dad would come in and tie me to the bedpost.
I think I was way older than four. I think Sharon Stone, the drug junkie in Casino, did that to her daughter so that she could go to the Leaning Tower and have dinner.
Well, I don't know what year Casino came out, but maybe that's where my dad learned it from.
Early 90s. Yeah.
He would take the belt off his robe and tie me to the bedpost. Both arms split like a pig.
He probably did that to your mom a couple times too.
It's probably where he learned it from. All right. We can go on me having the mental image of my dad pony my mom. All right, everybody, have a great Thursday. We'll see you back. Don't forget, put on your calendar. Ask for time off now, December 20th.
December 20th, big
MGM
day.
Sportsbook.
Yeah, right? Come out, say hi to everyone. And also, the Christmas cameos.
Christmas
or
cameos.
Hanukkah cameos or Kwanzaa cameos.
Yep.
We're open to all religions and faiths.
We are. What do they call it? Chris Kwanzaa. You know when they put it all three of the holidays together?
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa?
I don't know. It was like on an old Navy commercial back in the day. All right. Who cares? Yeah. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah. See you later.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.